You're tuned to WDIY FM Allentown. That's music from Della May. Well, I'm Carlos Benjamin, and glad to welcome to our studios a master violin maker and foremost expert on American violins, also a blues and folk legend. Welcome to WDIY, David Bromberg.
Well, thank you. I'll take the American violin expert, but I'm not a master maker. I graduated from violin making school, but after I graduated, I just studied identification of old violins.
All right.
And that's what I do. I don't pick up edge tools anymore.
All right. Well, glad to have that clarified. But I did see a write-up on you in Fret World, and
uh-huh.
a really great article about 6 years ago.
All right.
But, yeah, you're playing at Music Fest Cafe tonight with your band, and I think for the second time?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a really nice venue to see you. And in the summer, you played at Philly Folk Festival.
Uh-huh.
Where a venue you must have some frequent flyer miles there.
Oh yeah. I've got. What's a good name for it? Frequent folk singer miles, I guess.
Yeah, because I recall you also doing a jam with a whole stage of people on that camp stage a couple of years back. That was pretty cool, and this was a Sunday night headliner spot for you with Asleep at the Wheel. So, yeah, so you were celebrating the new recording, which we're going to play something off of that a little bit later.
Uh-huh.
But could you start us out with something live this
sure.
afternoon?
I'll never hit 17 when you play against the dealer, because you know that the odds won't ride with you. Never leave your woman alone with friends around to steal her. Years are gambled and lost like summer wages. So we'll keep rolling on until we get to Vancouver, and the woman I love is living there. It's been 6 long months or more since I've seen her. Maybe gambled and lost like summer wages. And in all the beer parlors all down along Main Street, the dreams of the seasons are spilled down on the floor. All the big stands of timber all ready for falling, and the hustlers sitting watchfully as they wait there at the door. I saw work on those towboats in my slippery city shoes, which I swore I would never do again. Through the great fog-bound straits, where the cedars stand watching, I'll be far off and gone like summer seasons are spilled down on the floor. All the big stands of timber all ready for falling, and the hustlers sitting watchfully as they wait there at the door. Ah, she's a woman so fine, I might never try to find her, because good memory is all we had before. And they should never be changed, because they're all that I'll take with me. Now I've gambled and lost my summer wages. Never hit 17. When you play against the dealer, because you know the odds won't ride with you. And never leave your woman alone with so-called friends around to steal her. Years are gambled and lost like summer wages.
David Bromberg in live in our studios here at WDIY. And what was the name of that tune?
Summer Wages.
And performing tonight at Music Fest Cafe. And first time in here at WDIY. You were in Bethlehem at the Ice House in June to play a benefit for Dave Fry, who's the founder of the local folk club Godfrey Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
He founded that back in 1976. And you played solo for that show, which was totally amazing. You're doing that again here. Tonight you're with your band at Music Fest Cafe. How often do you get out and play solo?
Very rarely.
Yeah, I mean, because
I actually much prefer playing with a band.
I mean, I imagine it's a comfort. Everybody else is pitching in, and but that show was fabulous, and that's why I wondered if you were out there doing that much. And
I do it occasionally.
Okay. And the CD is great, and we're going to be getting to that in a little bit. But one thing you're known for over the years, and particularly that night I recall, is some of your wild storytelling.
Me? And,
yes. And it stretches out into a song in a kind of humorous and twisted way.
I really don't know what you're referring to.
Songs like Sharon. And,
oh, yes, yeah, well... I mean, it's a true story.
But you expand on these things in lots of ways and draw them out, and they're great. And just curious, do you recreate these stories as time goes on and when you tell them?
Hopefully, things come out different every night. I like it better that way. For example, I don't have a set list. We decide on the first tune, and after that, it's all up for grabs.
Oh, that's great. So it kind of leaves a lot of room to, I mean, you have some discussion a little bit who's comfortable in playing what that night, but you just figure it out.
Yeah, I ask the guys if there's anything in particular they want to play. That doesn't mean that we'll play it, though.
But like Fly to the Bumblebee is usually off the list.
Generally off the list, yeah.
Well, your wife, Nancy, must have an unusual sense of humor as well to not be offended by some of those tales you tell.
She does have a great sense of humor.
Yeah, and that's probably a great thing for a relationship as well.
Helps.
Yeah. Well, you know, although you've accompanied a lot of well-known people over the years, like Jerry Jeff Walker and Bob Dylan and Tom Paxton in the 60s, apparently your first hour-long solo performance came unexpectedly at the Isle of Wight back in 1970.
That's right. You know that story?
Well, why don't you share that with our listeners? Because I thought it was pretty amazing.
Well, I was at the Isle of Wight. It was the second and, for many years, the last Isle of Wight festival. I was there to accompany Rosalie Sorrells. And we were there appearing on a Wednesday night, which meant that there was no press there. However, there were over 200,000 people there. And these 200,000 people had not paid. They had broken down the fences and came in. And the promoters were obligated to pay the performers no matter what and figured there'd be a riot if they didn't put on the show. So they put on the show knowing that they were going to be in debt by millions of pounds that they couldn't pay. The thing about crowds that don't pay is they're much more demanding than crowds that do pay. They're the hardest crowds to work for. And there were some really wonderful performers who were booed off the stage. Rosalie and I followed Chris Christopherson. And he wasn't quite booed off the stage, but they gave him a really rough time. After Rosalie had done a couple of tunes, they started to get restless. And she asked me if I would do this long, funny story tune that I used to do that I haven't done in decades and probably won't do. But the crowd really liked it. She'd never asked me to do a tune before in the middle of her set and never did again. But it worked that night. The crowd liked it, and they allowed Rosalie to finish her set. So when we came off stage, and you have to remember, this is Wednesday night, so there was a huge amount of people, but there was absolutely no press. When we came off stage, the promoters approached me and asked me if I would go back on stage at dusk. And I didn't know it then because I was really green. But at an outdoor festival, dusk is the very best time to perform because all of a sudden, gradually, you can't see anything except what's on the stage. And by then, you're not so burnt out from watching the stage that you want to run for the hills or fall asleep. So I came back at, I think they said 6 or something like that. And I said, how many tunes should I do? And they said, do an hour. And I pretended as if I'd done an hour before, but I never had. And I did, and I got 2 or 3 encores. And Tio Macero was recording it for CBS, and I got offered a record contract as a result of that.
So you started right with Columbia, right?
Yeah.
Correct,
yeah,
just from that performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Really quite an opportunity because you were you were working hard in the 60s and hadn't really gotten that opportunity, and it was a surprise for you and everybody. I mean, you probably were hoping to get to that point, but you just hadn't made it. And that opened it up the door.
Yeah, getting a recording contract in the days when there were such things was always took longer than you expected it to. But, you know, there was a thing that happened with a lot of performers. I don't know if I escaped it or not. But a lot of bands and performers will do their first album, and then they go out and tour behind it. And when they get off the road, they have to do their second album. And they don't have any new material except what they wasn't good enough for the first album. So then you got a problem.
Yeah.
Sophomore slump.
Well, that wasn't your problem because your second one was – your first and second albums were great successes.
Thank you.
And, the second one – we'll talk about it a little bit, but let's play something off of the latest album, Only Slightly Mad. And
okay.
We have the tune Nobody's Fault But Mine. And do you want to say something about it briefly before I start it up?
Well, it's one of my favorite tunes. I've actually recorded it before, but this version is way better. I've heard it in churches all across the United States, and no matter what you believe or don't believe, you can find some truth in this song.
David Bromberg here on WDIY.
Thank you.
It's David Bromberg here on The Blend, the David Bromberg Band from Only Slightly Mad, Nobody's Fault But Mine. I'm Carlos Benjamin talking with David Bromberg here in our studios. He plays tonight a 7:30 show at Music Fest Cafe, his second time being there with his band, being with your band. And you moved about 11 years ago. You moved from Chicago to Delaware. You'd been studying violin making out in Chicago, and you started a violin shop. And you began learning about the craft at a time when you'd taken a long hiatus from recording
and performing.
Yeah, and performing. And
a long, 22 years.
And now you have a vast collection of American violins.
Uh-huh.
And that I guess it's quite, yeah, the collection I saw in a magazine, Fret World.
Uh-huh.
And it's truly astounding. So can you speak a little bit about that collection of violins that you have?
Well, when I decided I wanted to play a little fiddle, because I knew how I wanted to sound, I'd listened to a lot of fiddlers. And the first fiddle that I bought was coincidentally an American fiddle. And I, after I had it for a while, I thought that was appropriate because all the music I play is very American. So, and I play all kinds of American music. And I kind of have a collector's bent, you know. I'm one of those guys who's going to collect something. And as I traveled around the country, I'd go to music stores and violin stores and places like that. And I'd say that I collect good American violins. And if it was a luthier shop, you know, a trained violin maker, they laughed at me. There are none. And operating on the principle that Americans are not genetically inferior to Europeans, I felt they must be wrong. And since then, I've proved that point. And I remembered everybody who laughed, and they've all called me and asked me if I'll sell them one of these or what is this thing worth. And I get calls literally from all over the world when an American violin turns up outside of America or even inside America. I'll get a call. I'm the guy.
Now, do you play violin also?
Very badly.
Okay, so you never do it as part of your performance. So
I used to always do it as part of the performance. But I had two other guys in the band who played fiddle. Now I only have one. So I can't hide behind two guys anymore.
Okay. Is it? I'm also curious if you ever considered guitar making. Now, Maybe we ought to just briefly mention you're playing a Martin guitar. Is this the one that's the David Bromberg edition?
Actually, this one isn't. This is a one that came out of their custom shop, although it was not made specifically for me. But when I played it, I needed to have it. But it's actually one of the quadruple O series. Anything with a quadruple O or an M is a copy that Martin made of a violin that Matt Umanov made out of Martin parts for me in the 60s.
And so that's really where that came from. And so they really consulted with you about the design of that guitar. Yeah. So is that something you ever thought about since you did study violin making? Did you ever consider making guitars, or have you done that?
No.
Just no interest with that?
No. Guitars are wonderful things, but compared to violins, it's like comparing a wheelbarrow to a rocket ship. And if you have a guitar that says Martin on it, the chances are very, very strong that it was made in Nazareth by the Martin factory. If you have a violin that says Stradivarius in it, the chances are huge that it has nothing to do with Stradivarius, or very little.
Well, would you like to take us out with one last tune?
Sure.
David Bromberg here in our studios at WDIY.
Tell me, Mama, where did you stay last night? Tell the truth for once in your life. Just exactly, where were you last night? She said, no, I said, look here, I think you forgot your lower teeth. And the wig ain't sitting right. And she said, I was out bowling like I do every single Thursday night with my lady friends. That's what she said. I went out bowling like I do every Thursday night with my lady friends. I said, girl, that alley been closed for 6 months now. I think you better try that store just one more again. You tell so many stories. You can't remember what you said. You tell so many stories. No wonder you can't remember what you said. I think you got a $50 wig. Sitting on a $5 head. So come on, get it out of here. Move it out the door. And don't let the door hit you where the dog should have bit you neither. Come on, pack it all up, baby. And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. And look here, while you're at it, take that wig and bowling ball with you.
David Bromberg here in our studios at WDIY. That's a great tune.
Yeah, it is.
So I want to thank you for being my guest this afternoon here on WDIY.
It's been a pleasure.
And David Bromberg performing tonight at Music Fest Cafe in a show at 7:30.
Yeah, and tell them the name of the CD, please.
Yeah, the new CD is called Only Slightly Mad.
Yeah.
And you'll be playing tunes from this tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm more excited about that than I have been about any recording I made since my very first one.
Matter of fact, about this new one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is just your second one in about 25 years
third,
or something?
But yeah.
Third, yeah. So it's really great to see you out doing some new material. Anything else you'd like to say about the CD, about putting it together, getting everybody together for this?
Well, it was produced by Larry Campbell, and he was exactly the right person to produce it because Larry has a familiarity with I produced most of my old ones myself. And Larry's a brilliant producer. He's got a shelf full of Grammys, and but he's familiar with all the styles of music that all the genres that I like to play in. And I don't think there's anybody else like that. So I'm just really pleased with it.
It's on Apple Seed Recordings. David Bromberg and the recording, the David Bromberg Band, Only Slightly Mad. Again, thanks for coming into DIY and talking with us before your show tonight.
Thank you.